Good afternoon. This is a wonderful day for the University of Oregon. History, I think, will prove that this is a great day for the University of Oregon. We have selected the 18th president of the university. He's going to be here to answer all your questions in just a moment. Let me just say a little bit about the process. The board, with the help of a group of faculty members and students and staff members, organized in several committees, holding public meetings, and I think a broad reach into the community for help in finding a president. I think that process has worked perfectly. The process was led by Connie Ballmer, who is one of the trustees, and Connie did a she's always hiding when I try to pay her a compliment. She did a spectacular job. This search, the committees were formed in September, August or September, and a lot of preliminary work was done, but the search didn't really get underway until January. We had a search consultant that we used that works in many of these presidential searches for good universities. A lot of candidates applied or were identified or recruited. Eventually, a long list was whittled down to 10. Then from those 10, after a series of interviews, four candidates that you can think of as finalists were advanced to the Board of Trustees. The Board of Trustees has spent the last few days meeting with those candidates and having lots of questions and very good discussions. Four really good candidates. We think, as we began the process of trying to decide if there was one there that, and I really want to make this point clear, not only was one of them best of the group, but we applied a much more rigorous standard, and that was, is one of them good enough to lead us at this transformational, pivotal time for this university? We feel like we have just about every kind of competitive advantage you can have at the moment. We have a very powerful brand. You'll appreciate, we heard that from almost every presidential candidate. Why are you interested in Oregon? Great brand. We probably owe that to athletics as much as academics. I think that's an important consideration. The governance model was very appealing to lots of candidates. I think we have now the best governance model we probably can ever hope for. And the record of the University of Oregon as a superior academic comprehensive research university really is important. So we had very good candidates to consider. After we go through all this machination, there was basically unanimous agreement on the part of the Board of Trustees that we had a truly superior candidate, really a transformational kind of leader. And the board felt that basically with overwhelming majority or complete consensus. So I want to introduce the candidate. I want him to come up here while I do it so you can see this. And in case you're, I want you to notice he's got a duck tie. Actually, upstairs he has about 10 duck ties. Everybody brought a duck tie to him. Pins, duck pin. This person, Michael Schill, is the dean presently. The dean of the law school at the University of Chicago, a professor on the faculty there. Before he was dean at Chicago, where he's been for 5 years.
About five and a half.
Five and a half years. Before that, he was dean of the law school at UCLA. You'll notice there's, as I talk about the schools he's been associated with, these are really superior academic institutions. So dean at Chicago, dean at UCLA, a tenured faculty member at NYU, on the faculty at Penn, law school faculty at Penn. He's a real estate specialist, has written a textbook that's widely used. We debated whether it's the most used. Reference checks with people. My favorite one is somebody, I won't name at the school, but another prominent school, said he is the person in the United States that I am most fearful of competing for raising money. And you know, that really struck a chord with some of us. He has a great track record, brilliant reference material, great sense of humor, can be very funny. Went to school at another decent school, Princeton. Went to law school at another decent law school, Yale. Has held tenure based on his scholarship as a law school professor. Is a terrific, we believe, has the potential to be a terrific transformational leader. And we got to this point with lots and lots of help. Some of the most powerful help we got was from the chair of the search committee, Connie Ballmer, she's trying to hide, but just step out here for just a second, Connie. One thing Connie learned in this process is she doesn't want to be a dean or a department chairman. You know, it's too tough to manage. And I want Michael to talk, but I also want to say before we have Michael talk that we've had the benefit of terrific interim management through this process by Scott Coltrane. Being president of a large comprehensive research university is a tough job, and Scott, thank you. Scott will stay on as provost, go back to his job as provost. It was thrilling to see that Mike and Scott hit it off so well in this process. So I think we're in great shape. It's a great day for the Ducks, and without anything else, Michael.
Thank you.
Thank you all. Thank you so much. Let me first start by thanking Chuck Lillis, Connie Ballmer, the Search Advisory Committee and the Search Committee, as well as the entire Board of Trustees, for the faith that you have all had in me. You've given me a tremendous opportunity of leadership. I will do everything in my power and then some to make you look back on today as a day that you can be proud of and a day that all Ducks can be proud of. Now, I thought what I would do is just talk very, very briefly, because I really would much prefer answering questions, and talk a little bit about, very short, very small amount, about what appealed to me about this opportunity and how I view this opportunity. Let me tell you just a tiny bit about myself. I have a passion for higher education, and in particular, I have a passion for public higher education. I am, like many of you and many of the students here at the university, a first-generation college student. Neither of my parents had the opportunity to go to college. And from the time I was a little kid, all they said to me was, you are going to go to a great school. You are going to go to a great school. And I understand the value of a great liberal education that is accessible to everyone, that is the stepping stone to opportunity. For many people in this country, for most young people in this country, the way to a great higher education, the way to opportunity, is through our public universities. They're gems. They need to be nurtured. They need to be funded. They need to be supported. And I am so delighted to come back to a public university and to do my part to make public higher education great. What appeals to me also about the University of Oregon is the faculty, the staff, the students, and the alumni. I came down here, some of you may have seen me. I was trying not to be obvious, although sometimes I think I looked a little obvious. But I came down, I was here over the weekend, and I was coming and walking through campus, touring campus, and just hanging out. I met some students, and I have to say, it was unbelievable. The school spirit here, the excitement, the feeling of freshness, the feeling of commitment, the school spirit. As I walked through the various dormitories, I met people from wildly diverse types of backgrounds. Some sororities, some fraternities, some athletics, some not athletics, some living in Bean, some living in Global Scholars, all excited to be Ducks, all excited about the future, all grateful for what this school has to offer, and all very, very proud to be part of this great university. So I look at that and I say, wow, this is an opportunity to make a difference. This is an opportunity to take a great school, a proud school, an exciting school, and move it forward. That's what I'm here for. That's what I'm hoping to achieve. This is an absolutely pivotal moment for this university. There, after several years of churning, there is now a new board, a new governance structure, a really fabulous board of trustees, and I say that not because I think they had the good judgment to pick me. Probably, that may be the one thing maybe they didn't have the good judgment to do, but in any event, they are an amazingly talented, committed, and excited and engaged board of trustees. You have a new governance structure, which now allows flexibility and a focus on this university. So you have excitement. You have a new beginning here. And I am so excited to be part of that new beginning. And that new beginning, which will start, has already started, and which I want to be part of, is a new beginning of working together. A new beginning of people coming together to make this great university greater. We need everybody pulling in the same direction. Students, faculty, alumni, staff. This is not something that one person can do. This is something that the whole community needs to do together. And I feel that there is a tremendous opportunity here for this school to not only be a great school, but to be the greatest school. I think we have a tremendous opportunity here to grow on the tradition, this wonderful tradition of liberal arts in this university, which I believe is so important, to expand it, to enrich it, to expose our students to ideas, to have our faculty be amazingly productive, and to engage our alumni, who are already among the most generous alumni in the nation, and to engage them in the university, to engage them in athletics, to engage them in the academic life, to engage them in the faculty life and student learning. This is a great university, and we all need to work together. And so I'm really looking forward to my time here as president of this university. I have a lot to learn, right? I'm learning how to do the O. I don't ask me to demonstrate it because I'm afraid I might not get it exactly right, but I'm going to be doing it the best that I can, and I'm going to be learning the culture of this place. I'm going to be learning to getting to know all of you, and hopefully in a very short time, you will see me quacking, being a real duck, and I know that today is the beginning of that, and I'm very excited to be part of your community and to be part of you. So with that, I'd like to open it up to questions. Thank you.
It might be helpful if you could use the microphone. We're webcasting this news conference, so if we want to put hear us out in webland, that would be helpful. We've got a question over here, I think.
The UO has a bad reputation for its handling of sexual assault issues. What is your experience with handling sexual assault issues, and how do you plan to mend that relationship?
Well, this is a huge issue, as you know, all over the country, is universities are grappling with the best way to deal with sexual assault. This university is no different from hundreds of other universities in doing that. And I think this is a set of issues that I'm anxious to involve myself in. I believe it's very important that this university be a safe place. I also believe that it's very important to provide the support for people who have been victims of sexual violence, to know that they're supported by the administration. And I also believe this is an opportunity for us to be a leader in this area. Obviously, the exact details of what has gone on this campus, I'm a new person to this campus. I'd need to really get myself enmeshed in the details. I understand some of the things that have been happening, but I know that from all of the people I've met here in the administration and faculty and the students and the staff, people want to pitch in. They want to make this a better university. They want to make this a safer university, a fairer university, just like every other university in the country is trying to do. And so I encourage everyone to work with me and work with the Dean of Student Affairs, work with all of the administration and faculty to achieve that.
Well, first off, congratulations on
Thank
being
you.
Named president of the University of Oregon. And there's a number of issues involving this sexual violence issue, which has come up first as your first question, obviously. It's something on a lot of people's minds. And one big part of that is the issue with the counseling center and in the lawsuit by Jane Doe, the alleged victim in this attack last year, she says that the university accessed her counseling records. And there are questions about whether or not the school should be doing that. You know, the school says put them back, and it was within the law to do so. There's some legislation now in the state capitol. But where do you stand on that issue? And, I mean, you're a law professor, obviously. You are a person who knows a lot about the law. And should people who go to the counseling center have any kind of feeling at all that their trust is going to be violated?
So let me first say, I am a lawyer, and any good lawyer would not comment on something that is involving litigation. So I'm not going to, I really can't address that issue. I don't really know the facts of the issue. I don't know the underlying facts of the case that you're talking about. What I do know is that every student who goes to this university needs to feel safe, needs to feel that the university is supporting him or her, and it's very, and also needs to understand that we are fair and that we treat everyone fairly. And that will be my keystone. That will be where my touchstone, where I go on this issue, working with the attorneys here, working with people in student affairs, people at the counseling center. I just don't have enough background and information at this point to really talk about that. And indeed, even if I had more background, it is involving ongoing litigation.
Do you have any experience with labor or union negotiations, and how do you plan to navigate that in the future?
So I think that, you know, labor, obviously I'm a lawyer. I'm familiar with labor law. I'm familiar with employment law. I have never been a party to labor negotiations before. The faculty were not unionized in the schools that I was part of. The staff were in some of the universities. Remember, I was a dean in the University of California system. So I know that how important the union is. I know how important it is to develop a collegial relationship with the union. My hope is that as we move forward in negotiations, that we can remember that we're both on the same side, that we want this to be a great university. The reason people work here is because they love the university. They love Eugene. They love helping our students grow intellectually and go off and become citizens. And we need to work together collaboratively. That said, the budget is uncertain, right? We know that over time there has been, that the budget is tight, that the funding sources, all, not just in Oregon, all over the country, has been very difficult for public universities. We also know that the salaries in many public universities, including this one, have lagged. And I think that we need to understand that, but we also need to understand that we need, that there is a limited pot of money available, that students, I'm sure I'm gonna get a question from a student who's gonna say something about tuition and tuition increases, and they're gonna say they can't afford anymore, and that's a very real issue. And so as we approach the bargaining, this is not gonna be easy, but what I would hope is that the two teams, as they negotiate, negotiate in good faith, and negotiate with each other in a way that doesn't call into question the ethics of each other or the decency of each other. This university is full of good, decent people in the union and in the administration, among the alumni, and certainly among the students. And we have to work together. We have to move toward a common goal, and that is to make this university the greatest university we possibly can. And we can't allow bargaining to divide us.
How long have you wanted to be a university president, and were you recruited or did you contact the search committee?
How long have I wanted to be a university president? I think I started, I was dean at UCLA for 5.5 years. I can't say I wanted to be a university president at that point. I then became a dean at the University in Chicago, and then at some point I started thinking about, wow, it's, what's going on outside the law school is incredibly interesting. The issues of education, the issues of higher education, are among the most important issues of our society. We're seeing a growing gap between people who go to college and people who don't go to college. And the people who don't go to college and don't get a post-secondary education, they're being left behind. And so I believe that this is my mission, and I believe that after being dean of a law school for 11 years, I want to tackle the issues in a broader arena. And I think that I've been involved in issues around both universities outside of the law school, and I'm excited about that. So that's a long way of saying, sometime probably over the past 3 or 4 years, I made a decision that if there was a good opportunity, I would be interested in that opportunity. And, you know, I have to say, I've been called, as I'm sure all the other candidates, many times to get into many presidential searches. I don't go into these presidential searches often. This was one that appealed to me, because this is a school where leadership can make a difference. This is a school that is at a moment. It's at a moment where it can become greater, much greater. Its trajectory can steepen, can become much more steep with the right leadership and with a community effort that engages our alumni, our students, our faculty, and our staff in a common effort. So I got very interested by the University of Oregon. Oregon is an excellent university with a national reputation, so it's very, very exciting. And to answer your question, I got a call from the search consultant. I didn't contact the search consultant. I don't know who provided the search consultant with my name or whether it was multiple people. And the committee, through the search consultant, contacted me. And I have to say I was delighted with it. And I'm very excited to be here today.
Hey, Michael, congratulations.
Thank you.
Do you have any ties to Oregon?
Do I have any ties? Here's my ties to Oregon. I am a Ducks fan, and I'm even more of a Ducks fan since I put on this the button and I spend time here. I've been in Portland and Oregon many times because in terms of, as a dean, what one does is fundraise. And so I've been here meeting with alumni. I've always loved it every time I've been here. I love the food carts in Portland. I love Powell's Bookstore, where I can spend hours. My only regret was that the search committee had me going so hard yesterday, I didn't get a chance to do my obligatory visit. This is a great state. It's a progressive state. It's an exciting state. It is a state in a community which is ahead of the rest of the country in many ways. And I find that enormously exciting. People want to be here. People are excited to live in Oregon. People are particularly excited, and that was one of the things I was so thrilled with when I came for a couple days to Eugene, when that was to see how people just love to be here, love to live here, love to be part of the community. And so I think that's very exciting. But no, I don't have family. You know, I don't have family here, and I don't have long-standing connections here. I'm particularly excited about growing those connections because my view of a university, and you're going to hear this many times, is that we're a family. We're bound together by an affiliation, but also by relationships, webs of relationships. And it's very important for us to feel that way, to feel in common bonds with each other. And so I'm very excited to become a citizen of Oregon and to dig in both with respect to the governance of the state, the local civic community, as well as the University of Oregon. So it's just a tremendous opportunity. And it's one of the things I find very exciting about having assumed this role.
Do you have experience working with legislators lobbying for additional money for the university? And can the university, I mean, is that a viable option? Is there really hope, at least from the very limited time that you've had to look into this, that more state funding can allay some of those tuition concerns you mentioned?
So what I teach, what I study is public policy, urban policy, that sort of thing. So I'm quite aware, quite sensitive to governance issues, to issues of public policy. Having been at the University of California for 5.5 years, I'm very comfortable going in and meeting with legislators. I might not call it lobbying legislators, but trying to convince legislators of the importance of higher education, trying to encourage legislators to fund the university. And I think that it's one of the things that I'm really excited about doing here, because I really think there is a mission of education here. What we need to do as a university, and really what all of the universities need to do, and I'm very happy to see that right now we're acting jointly with each other. What we need to do is to make it clear to the legislators, but even more importantly, to make it clear to the people of the state of Oregon that now is the time to invest, that the universities here, the University of Oregon in particular, generates multiplier effects. What we know is that industry, new industry, technology, goes where there is highly skilled people. So if this is not a school that is well-funded, if the universities of the state of Oregon are not well-funded, then the future of Oregon would be bleak indeed. So we really need to get that message out that it is time to invest in public higher education. It is time to invest in the University of Oregon. Now, you had a second question, which is, okay, so you've said all those wonderful things that everybody says all the time, but is it going to happen? I think there's reason to believe that it will happen. I think there's reason to believe that joint efforts among the universities will bear fruit, that the new governor is excited about higher education, understands how important a skilled workforce is to the future vitality of the state of Oregon. And I think that I am very hopeful that if we bring that message to the legislature, to the governor, to the people of the state, I am really looking forward to visiting all parts of the state, meeting with Ducks everywhere, but even more importantly, meeting with people who aren't alumni of the University of Oregon to show them why they should want to support the University of Oregon. And I won't rest until every family who has a child says to that child, you should go to the University of Oregon because you will get the best possible education. So I am optimistic about it. But at the same time, I'm not going to take it to the bank and just sit back and relax and say the state will come to the rescue. That is not the case. What we need to do is we need to engage our alumni who are committed, loyal, need to support, many are supporting the university, but can support the university in greater and greater amounts. And what we need to do is inspire them. You don't go to somebody and say, make a gift, because if you don't, things aren't going to work out well, or if you make a gift because you should make a gift because you benefited from the university. You go to people and you get transformational philanthropy by saying, we have ideas. We have great ideas. We are the future. If you care about the future, invest in the University of Oregon. Thank you very much.